In the end, we listen and we gain a new recognition of ourselves. Cellist Carlos Prieto played a recital here some years ago. Shostakovich, unaccompanied Bach, and contemporary pieces. No fireworks, just wonderfully clean cerebral playing. He drew us into that quiet part of the mind where peace is. His Bach murmured along with the delicate inequality of rhythm that fine Baroque players use to stress ideas. Prieto was no entertainer. He did nothing to put himself between us and the music. He simply led us in meditation. Afterward, we gathered in the art gallery under Mexican retablo pictures, primitive religious art kin to Bach in its clean, complex simplicity. A classical guitar quietly filled the air and sustained our inner quiet while we ate Mexican desserts, looked at the retablo, and greeted Prieto. He had the usual credentials, rave reviews from Carnegie Hall, a history of important concerts, world premieres, but his MIT engineering degree and his work as a steel company executive had been left out of the program. So, we talked about MIT. Did you know Dan Hartog? He asked. Did I? Years ago, I worked on the Aeolian vibration of power lines. Power lines vibrate in the wind like cello strings. An undamped line will dance in the air until it tears itself apart. Den Hartog's work with vibrations in large smokestacks had applied directly to my power lines. Den Hartog is to the study of mechanical vibration what Jascha Heifetz is to the violin. Prieto told me how he'd play piano trios with Den Hartog and his wife. When she was too tired to go on, they'd switch to violin and cello, sometimes 6 hours at a stretch. Suddenly, I saw violins, smokestacks, and power lines forming a vibrant whole. I saw Prieto whole. He'd studied engineering and played cello in the MIT orchestra. His life was no hodgepodge, no jump from one thing to another. Music and engineering were of a piece. I thought about how a well-designed machine reflects the quiet confidence of the designer, how it reaches the grace and beauty that lie on the other side of difficulty. A good designer reveals passion within detachment. May Sarton once spoke of passion in the odd words, love distant, love detached, and strangely without weight. That was my lesson that night. This engineer's passions were so powerful just because he had them under such control and focused so absolutely. I'd watched the front end of this process at another concert the year before. The University of Chicago Motet Choir had performed. 40 apple-cheeked, bespectacled young students, serious, slightly nerdish, full of the wonder of Hans Leo Hassler and Jakob Handel. 40 budding mathematicians, philosophers, poets, and chemists. There they stood where I'd stood more than 50 years ago. The same music shaded my whole learning of thermodynamics and beam theory. It ran in my mind and tempered my life when I, too, was infinitely young. I listened to them singing a bird mass. The same bird mass that I'd played in my head all through basic training in the Army. My wife nudged me and whispered, "Look, they feel as though they're the first people who've discovered all that music." She should know. She and I met long ago in a group singing Vaughan Williams, Poulenc, and Purcell. The performance on stage was clean and in tune, lacking in passion perhaps, but then youth itself lacks passion. Passion was still hypothetical. These singers had so much to learn. The Latin Mass was still an antiquarian exercise. What's the meaning of Dona nobis pacem, give us peace, when you've seen so little strife? Then they got to a piece by the fine German choral composer Hugo Distler. Distler wrote during Hitler's rise. He was anti-Nazi and he suffered for it. He committed suicide when he was only 34. He expected to be drafted and he couldn't bear the idea. Not even his music could sustain him in a Nazi army. That was drama that a 20-year-old could fathom. Suddenly the singing took on a new dimension. This was strong stuff. And so we watch process taking place. It's the same process that shaped you and me, that shaped Prieto. Music molding the lives of those smart young people. It was at once a window into the world and into history. It was a mirror of ourselves. The next week they were back to their paper chase, but the medium of music had revealed things about physics and literary criticism that they couldn't have known otherwise. I know, for I've walked that same road. This was an important night for me. It helped show me who I am by reminding me where I'd been. As I had with Prieto, I looked back and saw the abstract power that music has had in my life, in our lives. Music for a while purges our demons, it reassembles all the scattered rubble of our lives, and it makes us, once again, whole. I'm John Leinhardt at the University of Houston, where we're interested in what makes inventive minds tick.